Abram in Egypt. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, "I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' Then they will kill me, but would let you live. Say you are my sister, so that you'll be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you." When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that she was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, men servants and maid servants, and camels. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife Sarai. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. "What have you done to me?" he said. "Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister, so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Romans 4, 16 to 22, and can be found on page 1131 in the Church Bibles. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, "I have made you a father of many nations." He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Against all hope, Abraham is in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Without weakening his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Just welcome David up to speak. Lord, we just thank you for David. Just thank you for the words that you've put in his heart to give to us this morning. Open our minds to receive them, and may we feed on this food of yours. Amen.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I wonder what you made of that story that Mark read about Abram and his wife Sarai. Now, Abram later became known as Abraham, Sarai as Sarah. It's the same person that you were thinking of. Did you notice that when he went down to Egypt, he feared that his wife would be taken in by Pharaoh? And he wanted to look after himself. So he said, "Just tell Pharaoh that you're my sister and not my wife." So she did. How do you think Sarah felt? Last time I was here, I talked a little bit about Abraham's faith. And St. Paul says in the reading we've got today in Romans that his faith never wavered, that he was fine, and then finally God gave him a son, Isaac, and then later on there was Jacob, and then there was Joseph and lots of other brothers, and they had the whole nation we call Israel. So God was faithful to Abraham, but was Abraham always steady on his feet in terms of his faith? I think St. Paul is a little bit generous to him. Now, Abraham had to face many issues in exactly the same way that today we face many issues that make us anxious. I want to just describe some of the issues that were going on in the time of Abraham and Sarah and compare them to the time we have today. Because this age has been called the most anxious age in history. I'm not sure if it is. I wasn't alive in 1939 and all the anxiety at that time. But anyway, it's known as very anxious, and particularly with Generation Z or Z, they're known to be a very anxious generation. Do we look like the stories of Abraham and Sarah, the heroes of our faith, kind of wandered through life happily and peacefully, 2 feet above the air, being like saints? Well, hardly. For a start, there was migration. Abraham was told, go off to the country that I will show you. So can you imagine the conversation with Sarah? Well, we're going off today to the country that God will show us. Well, where's that? Well, I don't know. He's going to show us when we get there. Well, what are we going to do? How do you think she felt? Goodness me. I know plenty of migrants to this country. I know some who walked all the way from Afghanistan because they were going to be put to death by the Taliban. Imagine the anxiety that they felt, and particularly for their family who were under threat. It's not so different, Abraham's time, to ours. Then, of course, there was a famine, so they had to go down to Egypt. Heard of any famines today? There's always a famine somewhere. It's even in Glasgow or places like that. There's not even greengrocer's shops in some areas where you can buy fruit and vegetables. Famine doesn't exactly do much for your peace of mind. Then Sarah, when she finally got to Pharaoh's palace, she's put on a beauty regime because she's such a beautiful person, and she's just taken into Pharaoh's palace so that she can be made most beautiful. And basically, that's to put it politely, she was trafficked as a sex slave. Now, we've had so much in our news over recent weeks and months about Epstein and all that trafficking of young women. But basically, that's what was happening to Sarah. How do you think she felt? What kind of anxiety did she go through? Today, the beauty industry, although I don't pay that much attention to it, you'll notice, you get influencers on YouTube giving all sorts of advice about how you can look young and beautiful and everything else. And that makes people feel anxious. Oh, I could never quite look like that, can I? Half of it's AI anyway, so it doesn't make any difference. But Sarah there is basically sold into slavery. And we know that today there are all sorts of modern slavery going on, even in this country, where people, women in particular, but not exclusively women, are forced into labor, give up their passports so that they cannot escape the place where they've gone, and forced to work many, many hours for very little money. How do you think Sarah felt? While she was there in the palace, Pharaoh thought he'd reward Abraham, her brother, supposedly, with sheep, donkeys, cattle, servants, and so he actually became quite wealthy. What do you think the conversation was like? I mean, did they pass messages to Abraham out in the town and Sarah there in the palace? I don't know. But if they did, what do you think would happen? Sarah's saying, well, what's going to happen to me? I'm stuck here in the palace, and you're getting rich with all these various animals, livestock, servants, and everything else. And eventually, there are plagues in the palace, and somehow Pharaoh knows that it's because of Sarah being brought into the palace that the plagues have broken out. It's a kind of warning from God not to go any further in his relationship with this woman. And he knows it. How he knows it, we don't quite know. The story doesn't tell us. But because of the plagues, Sarah is then moved out. So Abraham and Sarah go on their way out of Egypt. What were you doing leaving me there in that palace? And I was going to be a victim of Pharaoh. Well, you were on a good regime, weren't you? You got all the food, all the makeup, everything you needed to be the most beautiful woman in Egypt. So they get out, and because they've got so much wealth now with donkeys, livestock, camels, etc., etc. Abraham's extended family, including his nephew Lot and his family, likewise have plenty of livestock and servants. And they go and find a place in Canaan where they can settle. But there's so many animals and so many herdsmen that they have a dispute. We want this land. No, we want it. So in their dispute, they have to settle the argument. And Abraham says, well, you go off and take somewhere and I'll go and take somewhere. And Lot, his nephew, chooses the best place, while Abraham gets the second best place. Interesting, as I drive around Aldham and Mark's Tay around here, I see plenty of signs about pylons. Because there's a land dispute going on, isn't there? How do people feel in terms of the planning of the National Grid putting pylons around here? Anxious? Upset? Concerned about the price and value of their homes? I don't know. Abraham certainly would have been anxious over that land dispute with Lot and sorted it out by giving him the best deal. Time goes on, however, and certain kings band together and kidnap Lot and his servants. So Abraham thinks, I've got to go and rescue Lot now because he's been kidnapped. Goodness me, yet another hurdle and difficulty to overcome. So he gathers together, it's very precise in Genesis, 318 men, and they go and rescue Lot from these kings who have kidnapped him. So they have to start a little local war there in the Middle East. Have you heard of any local wars in the Middle East? Things are not so different, are they? The basic difference is that whereas he had camels and swords, nowadays they've got drones and bombs and whatever other instruments of war. But the issues are the same, the anxieties are the same. And through this, how is Abraham's faith? He was told that he was going to be the father of great nations, many people. And he has all these difficulties over a 25-year period. Eventually, Sarah says to him, look, I can't have any children. Or perhaps she wonders, I wonder if it's me or I wonder if it's him. Let's give him a go with Hagar, my maidservant, and see what happens. So Abraham goes in unto Hagar, and lo and behold, Ishmael is conceived. So then poor Sarah knows, yeah, she is the one who's barren. It's not Abraham's fault. How does she feel about that? Not so different from today with fertility and childlessness being an issue which a good number of couples have to face today, which creates all sorts of stress when they want to have a baby. Then later on, Hagar gives birth to Ishmael and begins to look down on Sarah. I've had a baby, you haven't. A bit of one-up womanship taking place. So Sarah gets angry and kicks Hagar out, and she's out in the wilderness there, and Abraham's all upset because his own son Ishmael has been kicked out, and Hagar, for whom he seems to have had some affection, is kicked out. There's a dispute in their marriage going on because of all the stress that's happening. How's their faith in the midst of all this? And of course, the big one right at the end, after Isaac has been born. And Abraham seems to get this message from God, go up to the mountain and sacrifice your only son. A monstrous idea to our way of thinking. Completely monstrous. But eventually a ram is caught and the ram is sacrificed instead of the son. But this sort of crazy notion of losing the child that he'd waited 25 years for. And what of us? That any of us who've been parents at some point in our parenting, we know full well the anxieties we face about our children or our grandchildren. Are they going to be okay? How can they be protected in this cruel world? How does that test our faith? And yet, through it all, through this number of decades, while Abraham's emotional level was going up and down, while Sarah's anxiety temperature must have been going up and down, God was proved faithful. Throughout the whole course of Abraham and Sarah's life, although it seemed to take a very, very long time, and the baby Isaac was born in Sarah's, well, it says she was 90. I struggle to understand the years in the Old Testament sometimes, but certainly she was past normal childbearing age. Through all that stress, through all that difficulty, did their faith in the reality of God sometimes waver? How do you feel when the news every day brings another piece of chaos, another piece of stress and anxiety? How do you feel? How is your faith in the reality of God? Perhaps I can just read a couple of promises that God makes, because the truth is, through Abraham's struggles, God remained faithful to his promise. Listen to this one from the book of Isaiah, chapter 26. Those of steadfast mind you keep in peace, the peace because they trust in you. No matter our emotional ups and downs, no matter the anxiety that whirls around our minds sometimes in the middle of the night like a hamster on endless wheels, the promise of God remains permanent and does not change. And ultimately, God brings his peace when we exercise our faith. Ultimately. It just seems sometimes we have to go through an awful long time getting there, doesn't it? Well, these words from Philippians chapter 4. Do not worry about anything. You know, I find that a really tough statement. How do you go through life without worrying about anything? I know Jesus says worry doesn't add any span to your life, any more years or months or days or anything else, but how you do it, it's not easy, is it? Don't worry about anything. And Paul, I suppose, he had the right to say it, because after all, he was in prison when he was writing this letter. Things weren't exactly easy for him. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Abraham's issues, Sarah's issues, weren't so very different to the issues faced in 21st century Britain. Their emotions and their anxieties would have been pretty similar to ours, even though the context was different. However, what the scriptures demonstrate is the faithfulness of God through the ups and downs of their life. That's what I want you to take away today. The faithfulness of God through the ups and downs of your life, together and individually. Can I say a word of prayer for you all? Just be still for a moment, then I'll say a prayer. God of the ages, we thank you for the story of Abraham and Sarah. We thank you for the understanding that they went through struggles and difficulties just like us and faced many issues which are quite similar. We recognize that Abraham did hold his faith, although at times it might have wavered. And we recognize mostly that you were faithful to your promises made to Abraham. Now we thank you for the promises you've made to each one of us in Jesus Christ. And as we come together and say to you all the anxieties and struggles we're facing, we pray that you will bring peace that surpasses all understanding. In the name of Jesus. Amen.